Hello, everyone. I'm from Old School. You are moderators for this today's sessions on optimizing fleet performance. I'm part of the Japan Business Development at ABS, and it's my pleasure to guide you through these important discussions. Our session today we'll focus on two critical areas, fuel efficiencies and adoptions of digital technologies. These topics are not only important for cost savings, but also for driving the maritime industries towards the greater sustainability. We're fortunate to have three esteemed panelists with us. Each panelist will offer unique insights into those topics. Our goal today is to explore real-world case studies that highlight how innovative technologies are helping to optimize fleet performance. We aim to provide a practical takeaway for ship owners, operators, and all stakeholders involved. Let's begin by introducing our esteemed panelists. First, we have Holger Jablonski, Business Development Manager at Intership Navigations. Jablonski-san will provide insight from his extensive experience in practical management and operations. Jablonski-san, could you please give us an introduction about yourself?
Thank you, Otsuka-san. Thank you, Nicholas, and the wonderful Capital Link team who has arranged that with their partners here. It's been a privilege to be speaker here in front of the distinguished guest. Just to make it short, yes, I have been, let's say, more than 30 years in shipping, started from physics and engineering into studies with economics. I was project manager, technical manager. Traveling around here, I've learned a lot in Japan when I was serving here for a technical solutions provider, also a shipping company, a lot. I am very much delighted to be back to Japan after some time again. And yes, we do ship management. We have been ship owning for more than 35 years. And we have more than 100 ships. And at the moment, we are growing again. So it's been a privilege, as I said, here to be here and to share some of our insights. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Mr. Chris Hondahar, Commercial Director at Anemoi Marine Technologies. Hondahar-san will elaborate on how Anemoi's innovative Lotus Sail technology contributes to operational efficiencies. Hondahar-san, could you share a bit of your work?
Thank you, Tsuka-san. Yeah, very good to be here in Tokyo, and it's good to see old colleagues, new acquaintances, and what do you say, old colleagues on the panel. Even. My name is Klaus Hundahl. I've been working in the shipping industry since I think 2000. Started as an intern with Stolt-Nielsen, has been through some other Norwegian ship owners on the commercial side, but after a couple of years with DNV, I've spent the last 5 years working with wind propulsion, first with Yara Marine, which also sold scrubbers, but since the last 6 months with Anemoi and rotor sails. So I'm looking forward to talk to you all, both now at the panel, but also later. Thank you, Otsuka-san.
Thank you. Finally, we have Mr. Andreas Hajpetrov, Chief Commercial Officer of Columbia Group and Management Directors of Columbia Ship Management. Hajpetrov-san will discuss the digital platform and sustainable operations. Hajpetrov-san, could you please introduce yourself?
Thank you. Congratulations, you spelled my surname like a Cypriot. Well done.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you to Capital Link for organizing another one event here in Japan. It's always good to partner with you and follow your events across the globe, Nicholas. It's amazing to be back in Japan. Last trip of mine was already a few years back. I'm very pleased to be here. My colleagues are also here with me, who are based in Japan, and it gives us a great pleasure to attend. I have been with the Columbia Group for nearly 30 years. That was my first job, and I started as a trainee, aiming to stay there for 2 years until I do my master's degree. And obviously, here I am. I have not managed yet to escape. I have been involved with our clients and quite considerably, and I can also provide the feedback of how different clients around the world perceive the regulations and optimization. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for your introductions. So now let's move to the first key topics, fuel efficiency. As we all know, improving fuel efficiency not only reduces the operational costs, but also helps meet environmental regulations, which is a growing concern across the marine industries. With advancement in propulsion technologies, voyage planning, and operational strategies, companies are finding innovative way to enhance fuel efficiency. So today, our panelists will share some of their practical approach and solutions in these areas. Let's start with Holger Jablonski from Intership Navigation. Jablonski-san, can you tell us how Intership Navigation has leveraged innovative propulsion systems and optimize voyage planning to improve fuel efficiency across your fleet? Additionally, I would like to appreciate if you are hearing your thoughts on how crew training contribute to maintain this efficiency. I believe it is essential for any vessel to operate effectively and for performance to be optimized.
Thank you, Atsuka-san. As a manager of more than 110 ships at the moment, you can imagine that we have a number of different ship types, we have a number of different ship traits, we have a number of different ship ages, and more worth to mention, we have a number of different ship owners and interests here. There is a variety of different challenges. Yes, we have been involved in a number of different new technologies to optimize fleet. We have been applying, mainly from the hull side, some new paints. We have been testing several, let's say, friction-reducing coatings. We have been involved in PBCFs, one of my favorites, actually when I started here in Japan a long time ago. We have been involved in applying Mavis ducts. And we have also been, let's say, more and more projects coming up from some of the ship owners where it makes sense to test at the moment some kind of new pilot systems, autopilot systems that are going to integrate voyage data from the ship with, let's say, current, with weather information and what have you, in order to combine, let's say, and calculate the best voyage, optimized voyage to reduce energy, of course. As our panelist just mentioned before, our panel here, the best way forward is to reduce speed whenever you can reduce speed. When you're not, of course, committed to contractual, let's say, chartering speed lines and everything to avoid speed claims, then of course that is not an option. But if you can, and we have a number of different ships where we can do that in the bulk section, for instance, reducing speed by even 1 or 1.5 knots is really amazingly reducing consumption. And every ton of fuel saved is, of course, 3 tons of saved CO2, roughly speaking. This is something that we have been doing. We are in permanent discussions at the moment with a number of different ship owners from our side and also from the new building sites to see what else can be done. But at the end of the day, it's always a matter of what are the ship owners willing to invest to comply and to reduce their operational costs. And at the end of the day, to come back to your, let's say, last question, the crew is decisive. We have been in our own pool, we have been employing more than 3,000 seafarers at the moment. More than 70 or 75% of them are long-term employees and seafarers with an extremely high expertise and experience on board the ships, serving more than partially 20 to 25 years. They know their ships inside out. Whether you have the technology on board or not, they know sometimes even better. And that is, of course, something that we are also supporting. We are training and educating our guys on the ships and on the shore as much as we can. We are setting up just now, right now, new training programs, and that is showing already first initial results to optimize our fleet performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Jablonski-san. Now let's move to the Mr. Chris Hondahar of Anemoi Marine Technologies. Hondahar-san, your company's rotor-sail technology has been receiving a lot of attention for its role in improving fuel efficiency. Could you explain how rotor-sail is contribute to significant fuel savings, and what make them stand out compared to other energy-saving technologies? And also, could you please share your thoughts on how wind propulsions can help ship owners meet decarbonization goals?
Sure.
Please.
Thank you, Otsuka-san. Yes, sure. I remember as a young engineer working for DNV Maritime Solutions in 2006 or so, one of our first assignments was to try with qualitative measures or actually change of behavior to reduce the fuel consumption on board vessels. And then we talked about continuous monitoring, quite manual. We were working with officers on board to make sure that they had as short port stays as possible so that they could free up time for slow steaming out at sea. This was quite successful. We achieved a couple of percentages, and not more than 3 to 5 perhaps, but still significant. What we realized then was that then short rates skyrocketed through the roof in 2007. Many owners didn't really pay attention to this. The service area was quite dormant for a couple of years. But what we've seen recently now, a little bit with help from a lot of regulations, of course, but also the fact that owners believe that the future fuels will all be much more expensive than heavy fuel oil, that has really skyrocketed the use of ESDs in general. But also for the more, what you say, technologies that give more than a couple of percentages. And I think that is a strength of rotor sails. Instead of talking about 3 to 5%, we are talking about proven savings of 10 to 20%, depending on the route you apply your vessel on. And if we're talking about the 10 to 20%, then we are actually doing something significant about our fuel costs and how we are compliant. So I think from an economic perspective, that is one thing, we can achieve good savings. but also from the rules and regulations perspective. I mean, we do have Fuel EU Maritime coming. We have EU ETS. Fuel EU Maritime so far only applies to vessels that trade to Europe, but we know from the latest IMO session that things will actually be implemented sooner or later on a global scale. So as an example, we've seen that for an MR tanker, if you apply two rotor sails, then you reach a 95% threshold and you are able to benefit from that. And that means a reward factor of about $350,000 per year. So that really is significant. So I would like to say that by summarizing, you not only make the direct fuel saving, but you also make your vessels compliant. And it's a giant step, I would say. I'd also like to add that the bulkers, as we had some panelists from the bulkers here before, they have really been the sector that's taken on board rotor sails early. So I think all of our installations so far has been to bulker vessels. We do, however, see quite lately, about 6 months, that we see an influx of tanker owners coming to us, not only regular tankers, but also LNG tankers. So they say, what can we do to improve our fuel bill? So it is expanding, but the front runners has actually been the bulker segment. Thank you, Otsuka-san.
Thank you, Honda Harrison. It's impressive to see how your technology, like a rotor sail, is driving both cost efficiency and environmental sustainability. So finally, I would like to invite Mr. Andreas Hajipetro from Columbia Ship Management to share his thought. Hajipetro-san, how does Columbia Ship Management define optimizations in technical ship management? And what strategies are you implementing to achieve fuel efficiency in your operations? Also, how do you balance the needs for cost cutting with investing in advanced technology to maintain competitive edge?
Thank you, Otsaka-san. From our point of view, the way we operate is clearly to provide for our clients a platform of services whereby they can select what suits them best and which services they like to have. We have created a comprehensive decarbonization strategy whereby we outline 20 categories whereby we are involved, and this include the cost optimization and performance optimization as one of the big categories. By dealing with many clients, some of them prefer to concentrate on very low investments in terms of new technologies, and they apply perhaps slow steaming and so on, like previously said. We have an affiliate company that they proceeded through a client to install sales, so this worked as well very, very well. And in general, not all clients follow the same way of tackling the subject. As Columbia, we partner with the clients, we talk with them very closely, and we provide solutions so that at least the low-hanging fruits are taken into consideration. Of course, technical improvements are necessary, and some clients also follow these, like silicon paint applications and various improvements on board the ships. But what we do as a company, very specifically, we have applied through our performance management tool, a data-driven insight to the clients. We have created software whereby we measure the engine's performance, we measure the fuel consumptions, and We provide instant alerts, lifetime monitoring of the vessel's performance. So immediately the operator who is responsible to pick it up and follow the guidelines. Naturally, we are also involved with voyage optimization and subsequent control of that, whereby we can be sure that over a passage of 20 days, there are fine tunings that are required, and we're also doing that for our clients. With regards to aid, to fuel management, we also provide AI technology for the fuel purchasing systems, and through this software, we have seen a lot of clients been benefiting out of that. Of course, so that I don't spend too much of the time, the very big subject is a crew training, development, and ensuring that the crew on board are able to manage the ship effectively. As Holger previously mentioned, crew is a cornerstone, really, of the fleet operations. And through our own training centers, through our own detailed training modules, we make sure that our seafarers on board the ships, they appreciate, they recognize, and they follow strictly the guidelines of the companies with regards to speed consumption and so on. Thank you.
Thank you all for your valuable insights and the efficiency on fuel efficiency. So it's clear that the innovation in propulsion technologies coupled with a strong operation strategies is playing a pivotal role in the optimizing fleet performance. Furthermore, crew training and development essential for effective operations and optimized performance. So now let's transition to our next key topics, adoption of digital technologies. So the adoption of digital technology in recent years, digital tool and platform have significantly impacted fleet performance, to making operational operations more efficient, predictive, and data-driven. So let's start with the Haji Petrosen. Could you tell us how your new digital platform, Pangea, is improving operational efficiency across the fleet? Additionally, how does performance optimization control room, POCR, assist the real-time decision-making and the risk management for your clients? Additionally, could you share your view on the role of artificial intelligence in predictive maintenance and how it supports fleet management in futures?
Okay, the first question was about the how the Pangea, which is our performance optimization system, supports operations. The way that we have developed the system and is been offered to third-party clients, in-house clients, but also to the entire industry, we have designed already 6 or 7 years ago a software whereby we control the vessel's performance in detail, and we have created performance optimization control rooms in three areas, in Cyprus, in India, and as well in the Philippines, whereby an operator is constantly overlooking the operations and of the ship and the route and the consumptions, and they are able to pick up on various elements as we move along. As part of this service, we have created an engine link tool whereby the engine parameters are in detail captured and they are communicated with the office. And this information is then mirrored through the software in the office, and we do get impact and information regarding preventing maintenance failures and so on. Having said that, the technologies vary amongst the clients, because some of the clients are willing to invest in sensors on board the ships, so everything is coming automatically. Others, for other clients, is a mixture of AIS data as well as the position reporting of the ships and extended position reporting, and the information is then all captured into the same system, and this system is analyzing the performance. The advantage we have is that with a fleet of 400 ships, you are able to benchmark similar ships. You are able to provide certain advices to the clients to come up with solutions how things can be communicated to the charterers. And we have helped a lot our clients with claims prevention, speed and performance issues, and so on. So we follow a holistic approach, so any client can get any kind of service they require. The most basic one, of course, is again the speed reduction. But even in this case, all data and parameters are being measured and followed. Now, with regards to artificial intelligence, I think we see this coming up in our lives, all of us, and it's inevitable this will hit shipping as well. As an organization, we have started already teaming up with even a university that specialized in that to create for ourselves softwares that will enable us improve the efficiency of the fleet even further. We see this greatly happening already with our fuel optimization tools, and we are, as we speak, designing the artificial intelligence software for our engine software, so that you get a much better statistics and control and preventive maintenance on board the ships.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for those detailed examples and insights. So next, let's hear from the Yablonskis of Intership Navigations. Yablonskis, how does Intership Navigation integrate digital solutions to enhance crew management and operational efficiency? Can you elaborate on the role of the data analytics in optimizing fleet operations? And lastly, what are the key challenges you faced in implementing digital technologies across your fleet?
Thank you, Atsuka-san. Coming to the first part of your question, actually we figured out that we have a diversity of ships on our fleet that we manage, that we have a diversity of customers in our fleet that we manage, and that we have a diversity of a lot of different data that we actually have. We have a data pool. This is massive. This is really fantastic. The question is, how is always, and this is the first question when it comes to AI implementation, for instance, that we have also tried, but we have not come to a certain conclusion because we are not managing ships in liner operations. So this is the first challenge when it comes to comparability. Comparability of data is necessary to optimize actually fleet operations. What we do is we're coming, from the predictive point of view. We are doing a lot of predictive, analysis of the data that we have. We are trying to advise our customers what's the best solution, from the data perspective. We are integrating some voice optimization, as I mentioned before. And we are also, and this is, I think, this is the most crucial part, AI, I mean, artificial intelligence is seems to be the new goddess of our future, but what we all tend to forget is still these ships are being operated by humans. And the human factor needs to use common sense and practice and experience. And AI cannot replace that. It can support it, yes. We have seen a number of different supportive, let's say, tests, which are coming very close. But as I said, we don't have ships that our crews are operating in the same manner from A to B and from B to A back and forth again. That's not the case. Many of our ships, I mean the majority, the vast majority of our ships is trading in the spot and tramp trade. And this is where the most challenges are. We need to be predictive in a way that we are going to foresee what the consumption could be, what the, let's say, operational expenses could be from port A to next port call, and from charging to discharging, and so on and so forth. And this is the most important thing, is we are trying from the beginning to involve our crews on board of the ship and ashore to make that as a, let's say, a CAM team. That's our new, say, key to success, to make them communicate with each other in order to optimize, along with the data that we are going to have, we are going to optimize, let's say, the fleet performance as a combination of systems, of applications, installation, predictive planned maintenance, which is another very big, let's say, tool that we are going to use in order to analyze whenever we are going to dry dock the ships or whenever we have to apply some, let's say, crewing operational changes, whatever is necessary to optimize the operation of each of the ships, because each of the ships has a different approach, I must say.
Thank you. Can I just add very quickly something? The what has been said just now and what was mentioned earlier, I think we are all in on the ship side. We benefit out of the fact that connectivity now is much better than a few years back. So Starlink has helped a lot, and other technologies, whereby now it's possible to have all the data live, whereas a few years back it was very expensive. So the faster the technology on connectivity improves, then the more easy it's going to be to create the synergies and the relation with the ships that we all require.
Thank you, Hans Petersen.
I have to agree.
Okay, finally, I would like to turn to the Honda Harrison from Anemoi Marine Technologies. Honda Harrison, how Anemoi Marine Technology utilizes digital tools to enhance the integration and performance of rotor sail on various vessel types? Could you elaborate on how your partnership with NAPA, combining with the wind propulsion with digital technology to further improve sustainability in shipping?
Yes. Thank you very much. I would say utilizing digital tools is a necessity if you want to realize the full potential of wind propulsion. And I would say there are two important collaborations that we are looking to. One is the voyage optimization or weather routing, and the other one is propulsion optimization. So if we talk about voyage optimization or weather routing, voyage planning, we partnership with NAPA, but we are also working with a number of other routing or planning companies. And we do see that on a typical voyage where you don't have voyage optimization, you may say 10%. If you apply voyage optimization, weather planning, you typically increase this from 10 to 15%. If you actually apply it on certain really good routes, say Trans-Pacific, Transatlantic, then you almost can double that saving from 10 to 20%. So it's absolutely crucial to do that if you want to utilize the full potential of rotor sails and wind propulsion. The other part is propulsion optimization. When you have such a big contributor as sails on board, the natural option is to tell the officers on the bridge to ease the lever a little bit, but then you are dependent on the human factor. So we typically recommend that the vessel install that propulsion optimization device like a fuel opt or something similar, so that you actually can set a set point of maximum fuel consumption or maximum speed or maximum RPM, and thereby control how much fuel you use. This has been very efficient, and that is one concrete way, I think, how we work together with other digitalization companies. Was there any other question? It was something, regarding digitalization and the future. I don't think that we need to shy away for it. As you said, Holger, the more data we have, the better planning we can do also.
Yep.
And I think some of the other panelists, they said that typically you would go maximum speed, arrive too early, maybe have a crew rest or something. That for sure cost a lot of money. So I think with better information, you will be able to do much better voyage planning, make sure you arrive more just in time. And by doing that, you will be able to utilize your wind propulsion devices or rotor sails much better. So some cases you will be able to maybe not use the engine almost at all. And sometimes you will actually just use your wind propulsion for increasing your speed to match a certain lay can or to be able to squeeze in another voyage, actually, if you are using that type of time charter or voyage charter. So absolutely, I think partnering with the digitalization companies is absolutely crucial, both for ship owners and us as technology suppliers.
Klaus, can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
I mean, we're talking about technical sales. We're talking about data that needs to be implemented and programmed. The guys who are going to program that, they are basing probably the logic on mathematical and physics analytics. Are you actually using also the human factor of sailing experience?
Yeah, I think what we need to do is we have to make sure that the former captains or the officers, they go hand in hand with our developers, because these are two absolutely different worlds.
That's what I wanted to say.
And of course, we, as many of the people working at the ship owner's office, they may have seen some vessels, at least on the TV, but it's not certain that they have been on board a vessel. And for sure, many of our developments have never sailed. So it's absolutely crucial to make sure that these different types of personalities meet and
go ahead and
understand each other.
You will allow me to add something. We have teamed up lately with CITA. CITA is the world's leader in aviation, in the aviation industry as a service provider. They are represented in about 180 airports, and they are the ones with the face scan technologies and so on. We have had our shipping programmers sitting together with the aviation programmers, aiming to bring the technology from aviation to shipping. We are on the way. So this is also happening, and we are very proud of this, actually. But yes, these are different worlds that we need to merge.
True.
Otsuka-san, just go ahead.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you for your valuable insights and on the role of the digital technologies in optimizing fleet performance. So as we approach the end of our sessions, I'd like to briefly touch on the two final but crucial topics, regulatory compliance and fleet management optimizations. With the strict environment and regulations, ship owners, operators must adopt the innovative solution to meet both operational and regulatory demands. Technology like the rotor sail, digital platform, and data-driven decision-making are not only for enhancing efficiency, but also the critical in ensuring the compliance with the regulations such as IMO, decarbonization target, and the EEXI standards. So to close our sessions, I would like to ask each of the panelists to share the final thoughts on the following. How do you see your organization balance the needs for compliance with the increasing environmental regulations while still optimizing fleet performance to long-term sustainability? So please keep your answer a brief as we are short on time.
I think just to round that up, very short, we still have a long way to go, but we are sailing on the right course with a good pace.
Thank you.
That was very quick. I will complain a little bit. We are now end of October, and still BIMCO has not released the fuel EU clause with regards to the responsible entity under fuel EU. We have been faced continuously with challenges on the regulatory front. We are, let's say, we're not satisfied with this, but at the same time, we are committed to decarbonize and to move ahead with the industry and have a much cleaner shipping moving forward. It's gonna be a challenge, it's gonna be difficult, but we see this as an opportunity. It's a great opportunity for all of us to come closer together, to collaborate with our competitors, with other technologies, for the sake of our industry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shipping has been great looking back to deal with wars, new legislations, new conditions. But I think what we really need, all of us, is a level playing field. So whatever challenges we are they throw to us, we are up to the challenge as long as we have a level play field. So the application of new regulations, that is not, as you say, a problem. It's a challenge, but I'm quite sure that we will all, you know, succeed in applying them and continue having shipping as one of the most competitive means of transportation that is out there. So in that sense, I think it's looking quite good as long as we make sure that the rules and regulations apply to all and the play field is leveled.
As I said, the right course and a long way ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you to all our panelists for these closing thoughts. It's clear that while regulatory compliance possesses challenges, it also offers an opportunity for innovative and long-term efficiency. Looking ahead, continued integration of the digital platform AI and the sustainable propulsion system like rotor cells will be critical for achieving the compliance and the improving fleet performance. This concludes today's sessions in optimizing fleet performance. So I'd like to thank you for all our panelists for sharing valuable insights and knowledge. And thank you to our audience for your participation. So if you have any further questions, feel free to reach out to our panelists. So enjoy the rest of this forum and have a great day. Thank you.
He survived. Picture time.